Today, a 2-year journey to nowhere. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analysis. We've got this post covering finance and property news. And this is our weekly market review, but also a look back over the year. And as we close out 2023, the analysts are talking about the great market rally in the year, perhaps conveniently forgetting the falls of 2022. The S&P 500 slipped in the final session of 2023 to end the year up 24%. But the 2-year trip is back to where it started, pretty much. The Dow Jones Industrial Average and the Nasdaq Composite also dipped on Friday, but were 13.7% and 43.4% higher for the year, respectively, while the MSCI World Share Index posted a 20% gain. That's the most in 4 years. Now, true, this year might well go down as one of the most unusual ever in financial markets, mainly because everything seems to have come good despite a lot of turbulence and many predictions turning out to be wrong. And this against the backcloth of more regional conflicts, pressure on the consumer, and rising government debt. US Treasuries finished the year broadly where they started after major swings in the benchmark in 2023. In the bond markets, just a few months ago, investors were expecting the Fed and co. to raise rates and leave them there while recessions rolled in. But now bond markets are looking to central banks to embark on a rate-cutting spree, with inflation apparently beaten. The benchmark 10-year Treasury yield was at 3.866%, up 1.6 basis points on the day and right around its level at the start of the year. That yearly performance masks the major swings, as the note's yield reached 5.021% in October, that's the highest since 2007, before retreating and driving the share rally. The result has been a 3.5 to 6.5% return from top government bonds and a $10 trillion rally in world stocks, although that has been top-heavy. The Magnificent Seven tech giants have seen a 99% surge in their shares over the year, with Meta and Tesla soaring 190% and 105% respectively. The Nasdaq is on the cusp of its strongest year in 2 decades, while AI's demand for semiconductor chips catapulted Nvidia higher by 240% into the $1 trillion club. But it has been a very bumpy ride. World stocks were nearly 20% higher in March, then the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank, a mid-sized US lender, and the rescue of the 167-year-old Credit Suisse triggered a slide in world shares where they lost all of the 10% gains made in January. The scramble for safety pushed gold up 7%, and US and European government bond yields, the main drivers of global borrowing costs, recorded their biggest monthly drops since the 2008 financial crisis. But the steady climb in interest rates around the world then kept investors sweating through the summer, and in October, Hamas's attack in Israel ratcheted up geopolitical tensions. And in the forex markets, the dollar is down a barely noticeable 1% on the year, but Japan's seeming reluctance to raise interest rates and China's sputtering economy means the yen and the yuan are down 9% and 3.5% respectively. Everyone expects a soft landing to happen. Everyone expects bond yields to be lower, and everyone expects Fed rate cuts, Bank of America strategist Elias Gluris said, highlighting the groupthink the bank investors surveys showed. The big discrepancy, though, is that the Fed has only cut rates when unemployment is as low as it is now 5 times in the last 90 years. And equity markets have gone up so quickly that they're highly vulnerable to a pullback if the US economy slips into an even a mild recession, according to Royal Bank of Canada's fund management arm. The odds of such a downturn are still about 70%, said the chief economist at RBC, despite increasingly frequent predictions of a soft landing. Those calls are based on data that shows inflation is cooling, suggesting the Federal Reserve and other central banks will soon be able to lower interest rates, even as the economy continues to expand. Rate cuts are likely to happen in 2024, but the global economy hasn't yet absorbed the full impact of almost 2 years of tightening monetary policy, the RBC economist said. Historically, the average time between the first US rate hike and the onset of a recession is about 27 months, they said in their latest investor outlook. The Fed and the Bank of Canada first raised rates in March 2022, while the European Central Bank began in July. The risk of recession has gone down modestly, but the market's pricing suggests it's gone down remarkably, they said. What's baked into the cake is a sizable jump in earnings, which is really only achievable in a soft landing scenario. In fact, many economists believe the US economy is less rate sensitive than the UK, Canada, and other countries, where consumers are already dealing with higher loan payments because their mortgages are reset more frequently. But there's a flip side to the US structure of long-term mortgages, tighter credit from hard-hit financial institutions, they said. For every 30-year mortgage holder in the US who's sort of cackling at their 2.6% mortgage, and they've got no problem until 2052, there's a financial institution that lent them the money at 2.6% that's feeling some stress, they said. And even if millions of American households have locked in relatively low mortgage rates, any decision to buy a new car or buy a new home or build that new home or to build that new factory, those are all completely exposed to higher rates. The US is no more protected than anyone else, they said. And the firm's quarterly investment outlook said stock valuations look far more reasonable outside of the mega caps, such as Microsoft and Nvidia, that have been the biggest drivers of this year's gains in the S&P 500. The dominating performance of US equities for more than a decade could be ripe for reversal, RBC said. So they are entering the new year with a neutral positioning on stocks and have raised the recommended allocation to fixed income to 38.5%. That's up from 37% at the start of the year, as high yields have made bonds more attractive. It's a bet that will pay off if inflation continues to deaccelerate or if the firm's recession call materializes. And RBC's forecast is in contrast to the consensus of economists surveyed by Bloomberg, who expect the US economy to grow 1.3% next year without any quarters of contraction. And RBC emphasized that any recession will be a mild one without the high unemployment levels that have accompanied past downturns. But the issue for equity investors is that even a relatively shallow recession will erode corporate earnings. So while the US has sidestepped an economic contraction so far, it's too early to look at the data and say the Fed has managed to avoid one altogether, they said. It's kind of impossible to differentiate between a mature soft landing and an early hard landing, they said. Often they look very similar. Now in commodities, Chicago wheat and corn futures saw their biggest annual drop in a decade as easing supply chain bottlenecks in the Black Sea region and higher production weighed on prices. And oil prices are due to end 2023 down about 10% from a year of wild swings driven by geopolitical concerns, production cuts, and global measures to rein in inflation. On Friday, US crude fell 0.57% to $71.35 a barrel, and Brent was at $76.91, down 0.1% on the day. And amid mixed signals, the Energy Information Administration in the US is reporting record-breaking US petroleum exports of 11,126. And a year-end 6.9 million barrel plunge in oil supply that normally would suggest robust global oil demand. On the other hand, record US production that held at 13.3 million barrels a day and a perceived reduction in geopolitical risks as more ships decided to traverse the Red Sea routes, not to mention speculation about weakening Chinese demand, caused oil and production prices to plunge. And now there is talk about OPEC losing market share to the US and a growing debate as to whether we will see a supply surplus or deficit in the new year. That has given the bears an end-of-year edge. And yet, as we head into the new year, the upside risks remain both from a geopolitical risk standpoint as well as old-fashioned supply not keeping up with demand. Demand that is based on the forward-looking stock market will most likely be better than the market fears. So if you look at supplies and if you look at demand, we're not really oversupply expectations. So will demand increase? Probably the key is going to be the global insecurity for oil. If we continue to see supplies get disrupted, we're going to have the risk of potential shortages going into the new year. And that means higher prices. Natural gas is the best of times and the worst of times, actually. We saw a very bullish report yesterday that helped rally prices, yet we're still going to need record-breaking cold levels to keep the rally going. And gold prices ticked down on Friday to $2,071 an ounce as they headed towards their best year since 2020, buoyed by hopes the US Federal Reserve will in fact cut interest rates as early as March. Gold investors anticipate record high prices next year when the fundamentals of a dovish pivot in US interest rates, continued geopolitical risk, and central bank buying are expected to support the market after a volatile 2023. Following on from a surprisingly robust performance in 2023, we see further price gains in 2024, driven by a trifecta of momentum-chasing hedge funds, central banks continue to buy physical gold at a fixed pace, and not least renewed demand from ETF investors, Saxo Bank's Ole Hansen said. On December the 4th, gold hit a record high of $2,135 on bets of US monetary policy easing in early 2024 after a perceived dovish tilt from Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell, surpassing the previous record that was scaled back in 2020. The precious metal made almost uncharted territory in May this year as a US regional banking crisis took hold. By October, it had retreated close to $1,800 an ounce until safe haven demand triggered by the Israeli-Hamas conflict spurred another rally. JP Morgan, always bullish on gold, sees a breakout rally for gold in mid-2024 with a target peak of $2,300 on expected rate cuts. UBS forecasts a record of 2,150 by the end of 2024 if cuts do materialize. The conflict in the Middle East, uncertainty from elections in major economies, and central bank purchases led by China will also boost safe haven bullion's appeal next year, analysts are saying. But gold could be forced to unwind some of this year's gains if an inflation resurgence forces the Fed to abandon plans for a pivot policy in 2024, said Han Tan, chief market analyst at Exinity. But let's get some perspective here. Gold's real all-time record high was seen in late January 1980, when prices rocketed to $850 nominal. That capped a mighty 10-year secular bull at life-changing 2,331% gains. Now, that peak gold price, inflated using the probably lowball CPI, as at latest November, of course, translates to a price of $3,355 an ounce in today's dollars. So gold won't hit real records until at least it has exceeded that, which is another 62% higher from this week's levels. By contrast, silver looks to set to fall about 1% over 2023, trading around $24 an ounce, and it will trend towards $26 an ounce next year, benefiting from improved industrial demand, according to TD Securities. Now, European shares ended 2023 with an annual gain of almost 13%, with the Stoxx 600 at 479.02 on hopes of softer monetary policy from major central banks next year, though policymakers at the ECB and the Bank of England did not signal any imminent rate cuts at their policy meetings this month. But traders are pricing in 162 basis points of cuts by the ECB next year, with the probability of two cuts by April, and the Bank of England is expected to cut rates by 148 basis points in 2024. Consumer products and media stocks outperformed in daily trading, while real estate lagged. Even as European stocks gained this year, they still trailed US peers, which benefited from a stronger than expected economy and developments in artificial intelligence, pushing them into a rally which blindsided some of Wall Street's biggest forecasters. Strategists were mixed on their outlook for Europe next year. Teams at Goldman Sachs and Citigroup see the Stock 600 at record highs by the end of 2024 amid peaking interest rates. Meanwhile, Bank of America strategists see the benchmark sliding 18% by the middle of 2024 as current positive factors fade, while Société Générale expects it to fall about 6% by the end of the year amid the risks of a slowdown. Now, the UK stock market closed early for the last trading day of 2023 at 7,733, underperforming other benchmarks in the region with a 3.8% gain for the year. Sterling rose 0.08% to 1.2732 and was on track for a 5.39% gain over the year. That's its best performance since 2017. While it feels like the market might have moved too far too fast, the facts are that growth is non-existent in Europe, slowing in the US, and inflation is falling globally, said CJ Cowan, portfolio manager at Quilter Investors. The ECB is famously slow to change policy course, so almost two cuts priced in by April looks aggressive, even if it might be the right thing to do. Among other countries, Italy and Spain outperformed this year, while Germany's DAX index rose 20%, its best year since 2019. For individual stocks, Novo Nordisk was the biggest gainer on the Stock 600 by points amid hype around weight loss drugs, followed by German software firm SAP and UK lender HSBC Holdings. European stocks have advanced with global equities this year, after a dismal 2022, as investors grew confident that central banks will cut interest rates next year. Cool inflation and regional economies avoiding major contractions have also lifted sentiment, outweighing concerns about China's uneven recovery. Among sectors, retail, technology and construction outperformed in 2023, erasing last year's losses as fears of higher interest rates eased. Meanwhile, banking shares also outpaced the benchmark with a 20% gain, rebounding from a sell-off in March amid the Credit Suisse crisis. The two sectors in the red actually were food, beverages, and tobacco, and basic resources. Now in Asia, Japan's Nikkei has surged 70% in dollar terms or 27% in yuan terms, setting it up for its best year in a decade. The dollar is expected to post an annual 7.56% gain against the yen as the Japanese currency stays under pressure from the Bank of Japan's ultra-loose monetary policy stance. Market expectations are for the Bank of Japan to exit negative interest rates in 2024, although the central bank continues to stand by its dovish line and has provided little clues on if and how such a scenario could play out. The outlook for Japan is encouraging going into 2024, with expectations of robust economic growth and improving inflation that shows signs of being sustainable, said economists at T. Rowe Price. That said, even if the Bank of Japan hikes rates into positive territory, they will still remain much lower than those in the US. For all of 2024, if they got to positive 50 basis points, I would be kind of surprised. But that may be what happens. And if the Fed gives us three rate cuts, you're still looking at an interest rate differential of around 4.5% or so. That makes the yen very expensive to own, says Jefferies Bechtel. The yen is a popular funding currency, and investors use proceeds from shorting the yen to purchase other assets. Property woes could continue to drag on in China, though, which has had a knock-on impact on the demand for oil, which is down almost 8% on the year. Chinese markets underperformed in 2023, despite optimism at the start of the year that Beijing ended its zero COVID policy. Both Hong Kong's Hang Seng and China's onshore blue chip indices lost more than 10% in the year on waning investor confidence in the world's second largest economy. Those losses compare to Japan's Nikkei 225 index, which gained 28%. The Australian share market sealed a 7.8% annual advance in the last session of 2023. That's the best return since 2021. The last time the ASX 200 index booked a larger gain was 2 years ago when it jumped 13%. Last year it lost 5.5%. The benchmark slipped 0.3% on Friday to 7,590 at the closing bell as oil and gold prices edged lower overnight, snapping a two-day rally. It's within 50 points of the record high set back in August 2021, and 8 out of the 11 sectors were in the red. The All Ordinaries fell 0.3%. Singapore iron ore futures rallied 1.4% to $140 a tonne in the January contract. They hit a 1.5-year high this week. Biotech darling Neuren Pharmaceuticals has claimed the title of the best performing stock, sealing a 214.1% return year to date. Earlier this month, Neuren revealed positive phase 2 clinical trials from its drug to treat cognitive disorders in children. Neuren shares last changed hands at $24.97 apiece. Building materials company James Hardie, fast food parent Collins Foods, and cement producer Boral also lay claim to top 10 returns this year, demonstrating their pricing power in an inflationary environment that has clipped margins elsewhere. Meanwhile, lithium and nickel producers Core Lithium and IGO were among the worst performers, heading for a 75.6% and 32.8% loss, respectively. It comes as lithium prices slumped during the year and nickel was dogged by oversupply from Indonesia. Core closed at 25 cents a share and IGO at $9.05. Embattled casino operator Star Entertainment was also among the worst performers, sinking 65.8%. The company recorded a $2.4 billion annual loss, slashing more than $2 billion from the value of three casinos in Sydney, the Gold Coast, and Brisbane. Star last traded at 51.5 cents. And in company news, Eagers Automotive is dealing with a cyber incident that affected its ability to finalise transactions for some vehicles that have been sold and are ready for delivery. Statutory profit before tax for the year 2023 will suffer deferred sales, but those are not expected to be material, the car group said to the market. Now in crypto land, renowned crypto analyst Ali Martinez ignited a wave of optimism within the cryptocurrency community by saying that the upcoming Bitcoin halving, slated for about April 2024, may propel the leading digital asset into an extended period of bullish trends. In a tweet, the analyst pointed out that Bitcoin's design revolves around four-year cycles, influenced by its halving events and frequently reflecting it. He noted that historically, this pattern translates to 3 years of bullish trends followed by 1 year of bearish correction. According to Martinez, based on this cycle, Bitcoin is currently in upward phase with potential for extension into December 2025. The impending Bitcoin halving is anticipated to occur upon reaching the 740,000 block milestone. This event will entail a reduction in the block reward from its current 6.25 coins to 3.125 coins. But the exact date of the halving remains unpredictable, given the variable time it takes to generate new blocks, with the network averaging one block every 10 minutes. On May the 11th, 2020, the most recent Bitcoin halving occurred, leading to a substantial decrease in mining rewards from 12.5 coins per block to 6.25 coins. As expected, the constrained supply contributed to Bitcoin's value climbing from $6,877 on April the 11th, 1 month before the halving, to $8,821 during the event. And following the event, despite notable fluctuations, the price continued to ascend over the subsequent year, reaching $49,504 on May the 11th, 2021. Now, as of the latest, the current price of Bitcoin stands at $41,850. Standing back more broadly, the question on everyone's mind right now is, what does 2024 have in store for the markets? Well, the greatest risks to the stock market in 2024, both bonds and metals, I think, is the scaling down of market expectations for rate cuts as a result of renewed gains in inflation. Any credible and consistent signs of renewed inflation, not one-off bounces or base effects, would be punishing for markets. But even if you think the probability of such inflation rebounds are minimal, there's always the typical volatility in a US presidential election year. According to seasonality studies stretching back to 1900, April and May tend to be the challenging months during US election years, but October fares worst by far as consistency. but October tends to fare far worse looking at the recent trends. A third risk is that of persistently swelling budget deficits. And the ever-expanding amounts of new debt issued to refund existing deficits. This could easily ignite another bond market event similar to the September 2019, March 2020, or September 2022 event in the UK. Regional conflicts might well also proliferate, causing more market turmoil. And finally, next year won't be quiet on the political front. There are more than 50 major elections scheduled next year, including those in the US, Taiwan, India, Mexico, Russia, and possibly Britain. That means countries that contribute 80% of world market capitalization and 60% of global GDP will be voting. Taiwan kicks off with elections on January the 13th, and of course, against the backcloth of China, followed just a few days later by the New Hampshire primary for the 2024 US presidential race. And it's worth remembering that just before that stock panic in late February 2020 through to the middle of April 2022, the Fed ballooned its balance sheet an absurd 115.6% in just 25.5 months for crazily extreme monetary inflation. Other central banks did the same. That monetary base more than doubled in a couple of years, and it's the dominant reason why inflation has raged in more recent years. I think the FOMC finally realized how dangerous this extreme monetary excess was in the middle of 2022 as reported inflation soared. So the Fed has shrunk its balance sheet 13.3% since then, yet crazily, over those past 4 years, that monetary base has still skyrocketed 85.4% thanks to the previous decade's growth. Inflation, therefore, is still in the system. And as the Bank of America analysts put it, this is an era of boom and bust. We are not out of the woods yet. And I think that's exactly right. Expect 2024 to be another crazy year. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.